If you would open up your Bibles to chapter 26 and proverb number 4. As we just said, over the next 2 weeks, we're going to gather around the book of Proverbs as a church. And the topic that we're going to be looking at is friendship. And I want to say something to those of you who have a best friend, who have a close friend. And I want to say something to those of you who would dearly love a best friend, who would dearly love to have a close friend. This week is part one of the topic, and then next week is part two. And as we come into the whole Christmas, New Year time, I hope that this little series will be very timely in this season, a bit of wisdom for the season. What better time of the year to look at Proverbs, I think, than as we approach a brand new year? This is the stuff that New Year's resolutions are made of in lots of ways. So over the next 2 weeks, we're going to gather around the book of Proverbs. Now, is Christianity just a bunch of rules? Or is it more than a law? Is Christianity just a bunch of rules, as lots of people think today, don't they? Or is there something else to it? One comedian is well known for saying, "There is no difference between the religions of the world." She said, "It's all the same guilt, just different holidays." Is that true? Is that it? Is Christianity just a bunch of rules, just like all the other religions of the world, or is it more than a law? Well, have a look there at Proverbs chapter 26, and look at proverb number 4. Proverb 4, "Do not answer fools according to their folly, or you'll be just like them. Answer fools according to their folly, or they'll be wise in their own eyes." So which is it? Do you answer the fool, or do you not answer the fool? Which one is it? Which one do you do? See, Proverbs deeply, profoundly challenges the view that Christianity is just a bunch of rules, because Proverbs deeply, profoundly says you need to be given a new heart of wisdom. It's not about the rules. It's not about having the rules, not having the rules. Before that happens, first of all, you must be given a brand new heart of wisdom. God has come into our lives, and before anything else, He has given us this brand new heart of wisdom. It's entirely from Him. And as we saw last week, remember, it's a total transformation. It's a total turnaround. He has given us this new heart of wisdom. And so now, we don't downplay the law. We don't say, "Oh, no, laws. Laws are for ignorant people," or something like that. Now, we don't downplay the law, shy away from the law. Now, rather, we go beyond the law. We uphold the law. On the contrary, we expand the law. We live the law and more than the law, what the law intends, what the law points to, the spirit of the law. Even those occasions where there is no law to govern us, we still seek to serve God even there. See, Proverbs profoundly challenges the view that Christianity is just a bunch of rules, because it says it's not enough to have the rule. Or the proverb, and by the way, Proverbs is something a little bit different from a rule, isn't it? It's a wise saying. It's not enough to have the rule, or the proverb, or the wisdom, or the parable, or the whatever, the letter. First of all, before any of that, you need God to come into your heart and give you this new heart of wisdom. Have you realised this? Have you realised that what you need is God to come into your heart and give you this new heart of wisdom? You need God to come into your life. See, let me tell you, you might have been coming to Crossroads for years. You might have been coming to Crossroads for months. You might have been coming to Crossroads for weeks, whatever. You know it's possible to be here and to not realise this, to still think that Christianity is at its basic, a bunch of rules. No. Have you realised that you need God to come into your life first and give you this new heart of wisdom? Only then can you answer the fool or not answer the fool. Which one will it be? So if that's the book of Proverbs in general, right, that's the general, the total overview, we're going to look at the particular. And as we've said, and as you guessed from our reading, we're going to be looking at the topic of friendship this week and next week. If you're going to live with this new heart of wisdom that God has given you, that God has brought into your life, then that'll, of course, affect the way you live with your friends, and that'll have a huge impact on the friendships that you have around you. And so if I could give you the summary of friendship in Proverbs, because as we saw from those readings, there's no one section. So if I could give you the summary, it would go like this, right? Friendship is not just something that is forged. Friendship is also something that's found. See, it's not just something that's forged together. It's also something that is found. Right? That's on the one hand. But then on the other hand, friendship is not just something that's found. It's also something that's forged, something that you got to work on. Now, what do I mean by all of that? Well, today, we're just going to look at the first part. We're just going to look at part one. Friendship is not just something that's forged, it's also found. Now, what does that mean? Well, look at Proverbs 17:17. And it'll be up on the screen there. So we'll be jumping around. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Friendship, this thing that we call friendship, is something so unique. It's different from a lover, and it's different from a brother. A brother is born, but a friend loves. A brother is born, and that's obviously why you have a brother in your life, but a friend loves you, and that's why you have a friend in your life. A brother was born into this. He was born into this, right? It's his family too. It's his name too. It's his honour too. It's his security too, as we'll see in just a minute. But a friend willingly comes into your life. A friend willingly associates. They willingly bind themselves to you, even though it may not benefit them anything. It may bring about no good to them. A friend is born. Do you see the difference? A brother is born, but a friend loves. Do you see those differences? Now, don't get me wrong. This proverb is not saying that one of them is better than the other. So this proverb is not saying, well, a friend loves you, so obviously a friend is a better. A friend loves you, but a brother's only there because he has to be. Maybe someone insulted your mother, said that your mother was fat, and so now you and your brothers have to form a little gang or something like that. Yeah. But a friend, well, they love you. It's not saying that at all. It's not saying one is better than the other. It's just saying they're different, that's all. They're just two different relationships that we have. So don't get me wrong, but also don't realise this. In the ancient world, your family was your security. There was no Centrelink. There was no pension. It was your family, the web, your family. And to be without children left a husband and wife vulnerable and exposed in their old age as they grew up. Brothers, sisters, cousins, family were vital to your security in ancient times. They were a web of protection, care for you, prosperity as you moved forward together. A brother is your security. A brother is your strength. A brother is your shield. Because a brother is born. Because he is blood. Because he's automatically a part of this thing, this structure that is called the family. But a friend loves. Friendship is for all times, all of life. And it's funny, in the book of Proverbs, a family sets you up for life through their instruction and through the security. A family sets you up for life, but a friend is with you in life. A friend is there walking down the street with you, offering advice, maybe not offering advice. A brother is born, strength, security, shield, money, but the friend loves at all times. Now, don't get me wrong. This is not saying one of them is better than the other. It's just saying they're different, that's all. But this is the radical thought of the proverb. See, in an age where your brother was the security, the proverb is speaking radical words because it's saying a friend is not less than a brother. A friend is not inferior to a brother. Friendship is something to be valued too, for what it gives. You could almost say in this proverb, friendship is on the same level as a brother. In fact, in some of the proverbs, it goes even further. Did you notice 27:10 that we had read out before? 27:10, better a neighbour nearby than a brother far away. There are times when it's better to have a friend. And one commentary said this, if the bonds of friendship sometimes surpass those of family, then that is its highest praise. Isn't that nice? If the bonds of friendship sometimes surpass those of family, that is the highest praise. In an age when your brother was your security, can you see how this is holding up friendship in a radical way? A brother is born and a friend loves. Friendship, this thing we call friendship, is something unique. It's different from a lover, it's different from a brother. It's different, but it's something to be treasured, valued, for its own sake. And this is something that we need to hear in our day, just as they desperately needed to hear it in their day too. Because in our culture, we tend to downplay friendship too. Because in our culture, it's not as beneficial to us either, as it was for them. We tend to downplay friendship too, though we don't put it under brothers like they did, where the brother was most important. In our day, we tend to put friendship underneath lovers. Romantic love is the key, isn't it? Romantic love is the king. Just think about magazines. It's not who's friends with who, is it? As if you would read that, as if you would buy that. That's not saucy. Look, they're friends. Pop videos, music videos, music, everything. We don't talk friendship, we talk romantic love. And when something does come along that's about friendship, it's unique, it stands out. We go, that was nice, wasn't it? It was about friends. By far the thing that we praise and prize is romantic love. If you have a bunch of friends, does it ever feel like you're keeping one another company until you can all go off and find your romantic love? That friends are just temporary companions, gap fillers, until you can find your spouse? It does feel like that sometimes, doesn't it? And for those who are married, right, they can often reveal this too. Right? Isn't it true that when your marriage comes along, friendships just fall away? That's true, isn't it? It does feel like that. See, in our times, friendship is not something that's highly valued or invested in. And so let the radical thought of this proverb sink in, won't you? Friendship, this thing that we call friendship, is something unique. It's different from a lover, it's different from a brother, but it's something to be treasured and valued and looked for its own sake, for what it can give. It's different, but it's to be treasured. It's not just so that you can have a barbecue. The married couple says, we've got the new barbecue, we should get someone round so we can use it. It's not just to keep you company till you find a wife. Friendship is something to be valued. See, a brother is born, that is good, but a friend loves, and that is good too. They're not the same, they're different, but they're both to be prized and valued. Let me ask you, do you have a friend? Do you have a friend who loves you? A friend that's not a brother, that's not a lover. A friend who will love you at all times just because. Do you have that friend in your life? Can you name them? Do you know who they are? By the way, I'm suspicious of men who say their wife is their best friend. And I'm suspicious of women who say their husband is their best friend. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it can't ever work. All I'm saying is I'm suspicious. It could be that friendship is not really being valued for its own sake anymore in their marriage. It could be that friendship is not being sought out anymore outside the marriage, where you're looking to still keep friendships going and developing. It's sometimes an excuse, and I think this could be maybe one of the reasons I'm suspicious, it's sometimes an excuse to hide the fact that you don't have any close friends anymore since you got married. You've let them drift away. You've let them fall away. Oh, well, you know, my husband's my best friend. It sounds very nice. Do you have a friend? Do you have a friend who loves you? A friend that's not a brother or a lover? A friend who loves you at all times, just because. Do you have a friend? Do you want a friend? Now, the proverb is not saying that you have to have a best friend, by the way. So quick, all right, everyone, who's your best friend? Write it down now. If you don't, then you'll have to leave. You've disobeyed the proverb. All it's saying is if you are wise, if you're going to live with this new heart of wisdom that God has instilled in us, that God has transformed us with, if you are wise, you will highly value friendship for its own sake. It'll be something that you treasure, something that you prize. You care about it more than a car, more than a house, more than possessions. It's something that you'll seek for its own sake. You'll want it in your life. Do you have a friend? Do you want a friend? Well, here's the thing. You can't just go and get one. You can't go and demand one. You can't go out and buy one. You can't go and order one. You can't go and take one by force. Though it is unique, this thing called friendship is unique, it's still a lot like our other relationships. You can't demand a lover. You can't demand a brother. You can't demand a friend either. Did you see Proverbs 25:16? This is the one you're all laughing at. 25:16. If you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it and you will vomit. Seldom set foot in your neighbour's house. Too much of you and he will hate you. Now, there is a lot of wisdom in that proverb. Right? But at the very least, it's saying this. You can't force your way into someone's life. You can't push yourself into someone's life. You can't demand your way into someone's life. Like honey in the ancient world, true friendship must first be found, discovered as you go along the way. Yes, friendship is unique. Right? Different from a brother, different from a lover. But like many of our relationships, you have to find friendship. Discover it. So then, do you want a friend? Then you must first wait. Do you want a friend? You must first be patient. Do you want a friend? You must first watch. Do you want a friend? You must first be ready. Do you want a friend? You can't force one. You can't demand one. You can't order one over the internet. Do you demand friends? Are you the sort of person who assumes they should be yours by right, especially at church? Do you sometimes feel bitter or let down that no one has reciprocated your offer to be friends? Do you sometimes resort to playing little games, maybe even a little bit of emotional blackmail, to get friends? You know, just popping it up on Facebook, just saying the thing at Bible study that will attract attention your way. Have you picked someone and decided you'll only be happy with them as your friend? Your BFF, best friends forever, number one friend, and that's my friend who I want to have in my life and no one else. And meanwhile, you let the other friends that you have sort of go by the wayside because you want to be friends with that person because they're so cool. And as well as being manipulative, these tactics won't work. Why? Seldom set foot in your neighbour's house. Too much of you and he will hate you. You cannot force your way into someone's life. You cannot force feed friendships. You cannot demand them. Like honey in the ancient world, friendship must be found. It must be discovered along the way of life. So then how are we going to do this? How are we going to get these friends? How are we going to find them? More than that, how am I supposed to be patient and wait? Especially when I feel lonely. Especially when I feel neglected. Especially when I feel left out. How am I supposed to wait and be patient and watch for true friends in my life? I've been trying to find a friend here at Crossroads, but no one will ever really reciprocate. So what do I do? How do I get one? How do I find a friend? Well, here's where I want to bring in the wisdom that of C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis gave an address... I saw you all move. Prideri said to me, as soon as someone mentions C.S. Lewis in a sermon, he switches off. Don't switch off. Stay with... Where is Prideri? Pay attention. C.S. Lewis gave an address in 1944 called The Inner Ring. a little idea, but it's had lasting consequences for me and for many others. Don't get me wrong, I often forget all of this stuff that I learn and I go back to my old ways, and then the Lord jogs my memory and reminds me again, oh yeah, that's right, the inner ring, that's right, I've got to remember. C.S. Lewis had this idea that there are rings everywhere. Rings of influence, rings of power, and rings of friendship. And they're everywhere. They're at your work. It sounds like The Matrix, isn't it? They're at your work. They're at your school. They're at your church. They're on Facebook. They're everywhere, these rings. Right? These rings aren't necessarily bad. It's just how relationships work. These rings aren't necessarily bad. Humans need companions, and companions naturally form into groups. These rings aren't necessarily bad. His target is not the rings. His target is you. See, we see a ring of friends, and the first thing we do is we want in. It charms us. It defies us because we can't get into it. It makes us despairing. If only I could. We see it and we want it, these rings. And even if we do get into the ring of friends, well, that doesn't usually make us happy. And so maybe you're here at Crossroads and you say, well, I'd like to come into Crossroads. And you enter in, and that's really quite nice. But then before long, you see another group, an inner ring. And you say, ah, that's the one I want to be friends with them. Why can't I be friends with them? And before long, it's trying to move into the next one, and the next one, and the next one. C.S. Lewis says this: you're trying to peel an onion. If you succeed, there'll be nothing left. The circle cannot have from within the charm it had from the outside. By the very act of admitting you, it has lost its magic. Once the first novelty is worn off from once the first novelty is worn off, the members of this circle will be no more interesting to you than your old friends. You merely wanted to be in, and that is a pleasure that cannot last. As soon as your new associates have been staled to you by custom, you will begin looking for another ring. The rainbow's end will still be ahead of you. The old ring will now only be the drab background for your new endeavour to enter the new one. It's crushing, isn't it? For some, it's the Saturday morning crew. Do you know what they do while you're not there? The Saturday morning guys? For others, it's to be desperately to be a part of the girls. Are you part of the girls? You're not part of the girls, are you? But, oh, what fun the girls have, and you're not invited. For some, it's to be part of the Saturday morning crew. For others, it's to be part of the girls. For others, it's being invited on. You know, to be invited on to the committee. To be invited on to the leadership. To be invited in to the circle of guys. We all have different groups, and we all imagine what fun they must be having without us, these different circles. It might be as simple, maybe you're not relating to this so far, but it might be as simple, this will get you, as a friend's barbecue. A friend is having a barbecue and you haven't been invited to it. But she has, and he has, and they have, and you're waiting for the invitation, desperately waiting for the invitation to the barbecue, despairing, longing for the day when the invitation comes. And when it does come, it is like gold. Yes. And the delight that you have, the entry into the barbecue. Of course, once you get into the barbecue, well, it's not really that good, and you're not really that interested in being there anymore. Now you see another group, and another group, and another group. And again, the same process is repeated. To get in, to get in, to get in. C.S. Lewis says this, and this is particularly crushing. He says, it's tiring and unhealthy to lose your Saturday afternoons. Because now you're a part of the rings, you've got committee meetings or barbecues or social things. He says, it's tiring and unhealthy to lose your Saturday afternoons. But to have them free because you don't matter, that is much worse. So true, isn't it? To be at home wondering what they are doing. To be at home imagining what they are doing. It's a terrible feeling. We've all felt it. Though, if what C.S. Lewis is saying is true, even within those rings themselves, the people are still thinking about moving on. They're not actually having that much fun, perhaps. Even within very healthy relationships, you see two best friends, and it looks so good. Even sometimes within healthy relationships, they can be struggling with all of these things as well. So what do we do? How do we do this? How do we do life with these matrix rings everywhere? How are we supposed to conquer this kind of stuff? Well, someone says the way to do it is to get rid of the rings. Ban the rings. Rings are bad. Rings are exclusive. Rings cause pain. I was once excluded. Yeah. Let's get rid of these rings, especially at church. We should just be one group. But even here, Lewis won't let us do that. He won't let us get away with this. He says it's no good to say that humans must be just part of one large herd. No groups allowed. And we all just have to be a herd of people going one direction or another. It's completely impractical. You always have groups. Different towns, different suburbs, different interests, different languages, different beliefs. Even within a smaller group like this, we have such differences. Completely impractical. But more than that, it's not just the impracticality of getting rid of these groups. We've just seen what a precious, valuable thing friendship is. A brother is born and a friend loves. Do you really want to get rid of friends? Here at church? Surely you'd want to promote them for one another's good. So then, how do we do it, Crossroads? How do we have these rings, here at church even? In fact, encourage them because we so much value friendship. How do we have these rings on the one hand, but on the other hand not be devoured by them? Not be despairing of them? Not be sucked into them and pushed away and sucked in and pushed away and agonise and worry? And how do we do it? Proverbs 18:24 is how we do it. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. See, in the middle of all of this allure and despair and being drawn in and being sucked out and worrying and loneliness and I've got no friends and I need to move to a different church, and in the middle of all of this, we've forgot a vital thing that all Christians must have. God. A friend of many companions may come to ruin, but there is one who sticks closer than a brother. God. Because in John 15, Jesus says, I don't call you my servants anymore. I call you brothers. I call you friends. Because Jesus died for us and sent his Spirit into our lives, he calls us now his friends. Isn't that amazing? Because Jesus has my Spirit with him in heaven, he calls us now friends. And he sticks closer than a brother. His Spirit is always with me. And he loves me at all times. I'm with him in heaven. Jesus Christ is your companion. He is your friend. He is the one who sticks closer than a brother. In Romans 8, get this. It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. One who sticks closer than a brother. Did you hear it in those words? A friend who loves at all times? Did you hear that in those words? Neither height nor depth nor anything can separate us from the love of God. One who sticks closer than a brother. One who loves at all times. And so here you are. You didn't get invited. Here you are. Home again. Just me. Just me. Here you are. Left out. Here you are. They're being insensitive to you. Here you are. You don't know the secret. But everyone else seems to. You're in. You're out. What do I do? Well, here's what you do. you remember that God fully approves of you. He has given up everything for you. Not them. You. And he knows everything about you. You share all the secrets. And even those secrets, some of them dark secrets, aren't enough to take his love away from you. Nothing can take away his powerful, stunning, eternal, beautiful love from you, even the messy sin that you do on a daily basis. It's like you're part of an inner ring and you didn't even know it. And the inner ring is you and God. The inner ring is you and Jesus. He sticks closer than a brother. His spirit is in your heart. He loves you at all times. Nothing will ever take it away. Find contentment there. Find your true friendship there. Jesus, your true companion. Crossroads, maybe you don't have a close friend. You want one. You'd love one. You don't have one. What do you do? Well, one answer is to demand it. Not to find it, to force it. Even manipulate it, just a little bit, if you need. But what does the proverb say? Do not set foot in your neighbour's house too much of you, and he will hate you. You cannot make a friend by taking a friend. And there are a few others that we had on the screen there. One was 19:7. Did you see that one? 19:7. A poor man is shunned by all his relatives. How much more do his friends avoid him? Though he pursues them with pleading, they are nowhere to be found. Now, I reckon there's lots of wisdom in that proverb as well. But at the very least, it's saying you can't take friendship by force. You can't pursue and plead. If people want to go, they will go. You can't demand friendship. If someone is not truly your friend, you'll never be able to keep them, no matter how much pleading you give. In other words, if you demand friendship, if you take friendship by force, often the only way to keep that friendship is then by keeping on demanding it, keeping on grabbing it, keeping on holding on to it as much as you can. You cannot demand friendship. So what do you do? Right? One answer is to demand it. The other answer is to see Jesus as your true companion, Jesus as closer than a brother. Then all of a sudden, you enter a world of freedom, no longer having to fear loneliness. You have a friend who sticks closer than a brother, Jesus. And he's given you his full friendship. Not having to grasp hold of the friends and worry, and who on the phone, and who, well, why are they going out? Why was I not invited? Well, since when? Who? When did she say that? No longer having to do such things. Because he has given you his full friendship. Now being able to wait patiently for a friend to come your way one day. You'll just be walking along and you'll go through, and there it is, like a big thing of honey in the bush. There's my friend. There he is. Look, I wasn't expecting you. You'll now be free to wait patiently for a friend, or even not wait patiently. It doesn't matter if a friend doesn't come along, because you already have a true friend who will love at all times. And it was funny, I was thinking about this during the week. There's a strange irony that it's the person who is set free from needing best friends. So often they're the person that everyone wants to be friends with, isn't it? Whereas the person who grasps and is needy so often is the person that everyone avoids. It's a strange thought until you remember Jesus' words, whoever gives up his life will gain it, but whoever tries to keep his life will lose it. Whoever gives up their need for friends will often find that they gain many of them. Are you ready for this? Are you ready to give up the need and entrust yourself fully to Jesus as your true friend and companion? Once you do this, you'll be set free from the loneliness. You'll be set free from the power of the rings to keep on pursuing up and up and up. Once you find your true friendship in Jesus, you're free. This stuff has saved my bacon, saved me on two occasions, saved my life. And I wonder if I can share them with you as we close. Look, it's Proverbs, you know. We can do what we want. Just kidding. This stuff has saved me on two occasions. I hope this is an encouraging example to you. The first was when my best mate and I were walking down the street, and we were about to go through some pretty big changes in our lives. And he said, look, I don't know if I can be best mates with you on the other side of all of this. And I was like, what? No, you can't. And I went home, and I was filled with worry. What do I do? Everyone's got to have a close friend. How am I going to live? Until I remembered the Lord. He sticks closer than a brother. He loves at all times. And then it was a very liberating thing. I knew I would be okay, because I knew either the Lord would provide a new friend in time, or he wouldn't. But either way, I had found my true friend and companion, the one who sticks closer than a brother, the one who loves at all times. See, only once you get to this point will you be set free of needing to grasp at the friendships and worry, and why is she going out with her? Well, how come I wasn't invited? And only once you get to this point will you not fear the loneliness anymore. And only once you get to this point will you be happy to wait to find a friend or not find a friend. It doesn't matter, because you've already found a friend. Only once you get to that point. That was the first occasion. The second occasion was when I was walking Phoebe to school, and she told me the boys had been teasing her. What do you say? Well, don't worry, they're just losers. As if that's really going to help a kid, you know. How does that help? How's this? Don't worry, Phoebe, there's one who loves you at all times. Don't worry, Phoebe, there's one who will stick closer than a brother. Make him your friend. Make him your true friend. Now imagine being able to give that to your children as they go through school and high school. What a treasure that is. What a precious jewel that is. That is more valuable than anything. There is a true friend in heaven. How cool is that? Only once you get to this point will you truly be set free of that grasping, grabbing, and who's doing what. Only once you get to this point will you be not fearful of the loneliness. Only once you get to this point will you be happy to wait for a friend or not. Friendship is not just forged. It's something that's first of all found. Next week, we're going to see the opposite. Once you have found your friends, then you must forge your friendship. And the Proverbs has a lot to say about how to forge your friendship, to strengthen them. Right? But before that, right, before we even hear that, we must hear this. Right? It is something that you discover along the way, like honey. C.S. Lewis admitted that he wasn't very good at keeping all this truth. He said, the old attitude, that grasping attitude, that worrying attitude, that anxious attitude would often come back to him. And he said, it grows over me like a new shell each night. Isn't that yucky? What a yucky image. Every morning he has to smash his way out of it, the shell, and return to the truth of Jesus as his true friend. And I must admit, it's pretty much that the way it is for me too in my life, as I've been living these last 31 years. And I suspect it is for many of you. Every time you check Facebook, the shell grows over. And again, you get drawn back in to the worry. And what did she say? Why? Well, how come I wasn't invited? Every time they are going off together and you weren't invited, the shell grows over. What? Why? When the bitter thought comes into your head, comes into your heart, the shell again grows over. And then at those times, it's these words that will be so precious to you. John chapter 15. No one has greater love than this, that someone would lay his life down for his friends. You are my friends, says Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, our true friend. Thank you that he always loves us. Thank you that he sticks closer than a brother. And Lord, when that new shell grows over us and we begin to worry again, we pray that you would bring us back to those precious words, "You are my friends." Amen.